We'll now begin our board meeting. The meeting is being recorded. Today is July 9th, and the time is 4:03 p.m. I'm sorry. I think I might have a little screw loose sometimes. 6:03 p.m. Board members in attendance are Scott Wilson, Sean Warnick, John Taylor, myself, Shannon Acor, Rick Ainge, Kristen Bennett, and Brian Rowley. Seated up front with the board are Superintendent Rick Nielsen, Business Administrator Michael Harrison, and Reed Bart, Park Legal Counsel. Also present are members of the District Administrative Staff, Ben Ford, Suzanne Kimball, Mike Larson, Dave Rowe, Frank Daybell, Alicia Redd, and Mark Perry. We will now begin the discussion. Now we won't have anything. Oh, that's why I said the wrong time. I'm on the road. We were not going to discuss our work session items, although we will continue that after that. But we will have Shauna Warnick lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, you're almost as cute, Shauna, as one of our kids.
Meaning the Pledge of Allegiance.
One of our cute students. All right, we have the board approval. John Taylor.
We've had a chance to look over the agenda for this evening's meeting, and I would propose that we accept it as written. Of note, we will not be require a closed session in this meeting.
Thank you. We have a motion for a board approval of the board. We have an approval. I'm sorry. We have a motion for approval of the board agenda by John Taylor. Do I have a second? Seconded by Kristen Betts. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The voting is unanimous. All right. We'll turn the time over to Kristen Betts for our consent agenda.
We have the opportunity to look over the items on the consent agenda. Including the request for leave without pay, those students with educational travel. I don't think they need assigned amendments this month. Anyway, I just want to go ahead and make the motion that we accept the agenda as it stands, or the consent agenda as it stands.
Thank you. We have a motion by Kristen Betts to approve the consent agenda. Do I have a second? Seconded by Shauna Warnick. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Right, that voting is unanimous as well. At this point, we don't have anybody that has signed up to address the board, so we will not have that participation on the agenda today. We will move on to our items for board action, and we will turn the time over to Rick H. for that.
All right, I have a little background information to read before making the motion. Middle school district voters authorized the issuance of $298 million in bonds during the 2018 election. Our practice is to issue a portion of those bonds each year to cover the projected construction costs over the next 12 to 18 months. As part of that $298 million, we have the need to issue up to $12.5 million of that authorization to continue construction of Spanish Fork High School, Payson High School, and Springville High School. After this sale, approximately $10 million of the voter-approved $298 million remains to be sold over the next 1 to 2 years. The district has maintained its commitment to the voters to construct the 6 buildings as outlined in the 2018 bond proposal, which include 3 middle schools and 3 high schools, using the $298 million in authorized bond money plus district capital funds to complete the project. With that understanding, I make a motion to approve the resolution of the Board of Education of Nebo School District authorizing the issuance and sale by the board of not more than $12.5 million aggregate principal amount of general obligation bonds and related matters.
Thank you. We have a resolution that has been read by Rick Ainge on our adoption of the resolution for authorizing the issuance of bonds. So I have a second on that. John Taylor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that voting is unanimous as well. We will now have the time turned over to Brian Miller.
Thank you. In our work session, we had a pretty good discussion about sales tax and tax rates on the kind of uneducational experience there. But state law requires each taxing entity, which includes the Board of Education, to take official action to set tax rates for the coming year. This is an annual process and is separate from the bond issuance that we just voted on by the board. The tax rate presented for approval tonight is a really long number. It's 0.007227. And it is aligned with the certified tax rate set by Utah County Auditor's Office and the Utah State Tax Commission. Revenue from property taxes is used to pay for operating costs for the district, construction and maintenance of district facilities, as well as repayment of principal and interest on the bonds. So I make a motion to approve the resolution of the Board of Education of Eagle School District adopting the total tax rate of 0.007227 for the 2025 tax year as presented.
Thank you, Brian. We have a motion to approve our and adopt our property tax rate for 2025-2026. Did I read that correctly? 2025-2026, yes. Do I have a second on that? Seconded by Rick Ainge. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The voting is unanimous. We will now turn the time over to Scott Wilson.
All right, I have a board resolution. Read very quickly. It's not as long as Brian, so I can get through it. Resolved that after due consideration, the Board of Education of Nepo School District hereby approves the attached memorandum of understanding between Nepo School District and Spanish Fork City for the exchange of technology services, wherein A, Nepo School District leases to Spanish Fork City 6,144 IPv4 addresses, and B, Spanish Fork City provides to Nepo School District high-speed internet fiber connections to Nepo facilities located within Spanish Fork City's jurisdiction. That being said, I'd like to make the motion to adopt the board resolution approving the memorandum of understanding between Nepo School District and Spanish Fork City for the exchange of technology services.
Thank you. We have a motion made to approve that memorandum for technology services with Spanish Fork City. Do I have a second? Seconded by John Taylor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The voting is unanimous. Thank you. All right. Shauna.
Okay. We have policy KA, school facility use. We have times when we rent our facilities in our district, and we like to be great parts of our communities. We're grateful for the relationship that we have with our cities and our communities at large. We have, for the revision for this policy, is that we added some requirements for auditoriums and kitchens, and we removed availability for our physical education buildings, and we increased some of our facility rental fees after evaluating those and seeing what the needs are there. So I move that we approve the amendments to policy KA, school facility use.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve policy KA. Do I have a second on that? Seconded by Kristen Betts. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The voting is unanimous. Right, John Taylor.
So we've had a chance to review policy EEA. This involves student access and student transportation. We needed to reevaluate that after our legislature passed HB 161 and governor signed that into law. This requires us to adjust the distances for sixth grade students at middle schools. We also took that opportunity to take a look at changing some of the language regarding student misconduct and a couple technical changes. With that in mind, I would propose that we adopt policy EEA as written.
Thank you. We have a motion by John Taylor to approve policy EEA. Do I have a second on that? Seconded by Rick Ainge. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The voting is unanimous. Kristen.
We also had a chance to review policy DID, which is asset inventory, and the last time this was changed was in 2023, so it's a fairly recently updated policy, but this new addition adds flexibility to the method and location of maintaining assets detailed by departments. And having served on the budget committee, which I feel like they do such a good job of tracking our assets, and I'm grateful for them, but this is just to help make it a little bit more more effective. So I go ahead and make the motion that we accept policy DID as it's been updated.
Thank you. We have a motion by Kristen Betts to approve policy DID. Do we have a second on that? Seconded by Shauna Warnick. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? The voting is unanimous. Next, we have public utility easement. Scott Wilson.
Thank you. You know, when I was here at NEVO, it was always great to work with the cities. If NEVO does anything great, it's working with the local cities. And this is an example of that. This is a public utility easement. I'll read the resolution. Resolve that after due consideration, the Board of Education of NEVO School District hereby approves the public utility easement between the Board of Education of NEVO School District as grantor and Spingle City as grantee in the form presented hereto, wherein the school district grants an easement for public utilities across a portion of the Meadowbrook Elementary School property located in Springville, Utah. That being said, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the board resolution approving the public utility easement between NEVO School District as grantor and Springville City as grantee, wherein the school district grants an easement for public utilities across a portion of the Meadowbrook Elementary School property located in Springville, Utah.
Say that sentence
back.
We have a motion to approve the public utility easement in Springville City presented by Scott Wilson. Do I have a second on that? Seconded by Kristen Betts. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That is unanimous. Now we have requests for early retirement or change.
Okay, we have one employee that has announced their intention to retire and has applied for benefits under the early retirement incentive plans. And I make the motion to approve the request for early retirement incentive plans.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve those requests that we've been able to review. Do we have a second on that? Seconded by Brian Rowley. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That is unanimous. They can retire safely now. We've covered all the items on our 6 o'clock agenda. However, we do have items that we still need to discuss and cover on our board work session agenda. So we will go back into our work session, and I believe we were at the point for superintendent items. So we will turn the time over to him.
Great. Thank you very much. I think we'll queue up Shauna for some Master Board certification training of whatever works best for her. Can I talk about other stuff for a minute here while we're getting set up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll cover a couple of other things in the meantime. I just got an email today asking you to fill out the application for UHSAA passes. We traditionally get those for everybody on the board. I just plan on submitting everybody's name to get UHSAA passes. So anyway, unless somebody tells me they don't want one, we're going to go ahead and proceed with that. Just a reminder that we have opening institute on August 7th. That starts at 9 a.m. at the rodeo grounds, so we will not see you between now and then. So,
it's crazy.
No, 9 a.m. on August 7th. So, Kel always gets there and saves you seats, so she'll do that again this year. But remember that getting there, traffic is a problem. So, if you want to come, leave a bit early, and we just, I guess, Cal, exactly. Cal, how much does it matter if you know who's coming and not coming? Anybody out there already knows for a fact they are coming? Sue Enquist is our opening keynote speaker. Sue is a pioneer of, some people would say she's a pioneer regarding Title IX. But I would say that what she is somebody that was an elite high school baseball player. And when she was coming out of high school as a baseball player, UCLA started women's softball. And UCLA recruited her to come be on their inaugural softball team. So that's why sometimes she gets sucked into the timeline conversation a bit. But Sue has taken her life experience. She, her current assignment, she was then, she was a longtime player, then a longtime coach, multiple national championships. But what she's currently doing, and the reason we couldn't get her last year, is she's currently providing consultation with the U.S. women's volleyball team. So she was at the Olympics last year in Paris and unable to be with us at the Rodeo Grounds. So,
and there's no achievement.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, so we're bringing several of us have seen her at least once. I've seen her a couple of times. So Sue Aliquist is her name. All right.
Okay.
Sean, over to you. All right.
Okay.
Great.
I'm not a professional presenter, but my computer's, but I've got a few things. Number one is to remember that.
Can you turn your mic on? Sorry.
Oh, sure. Okay, first is to remember the Utah School Board Association's mission statement is building better boards. And good governance doesn't just happen. It takes experience and ongoing quality training. It's a quote from Richard Stoll, our executive director for USBA. Let me just quickly show you, give you a quick tour on the USBA website if you have or have not been there. There's so many resources on this website. There's services, conferences, and training. So if you go to the conferences and training tab, you can scroll down and you can see they have resources from all these trainings and conferences that they've been to, resources that you can see. Items about legislation, if you ever have questions, they have all kinds of resources there. Governance, they have... So master board certification that I'm presenting about today is in a couple of places, and one is under governance here. But there's handbooks and trainings and evaluation tools and all kinds of things that are meant to support us here as a board. And then resources here for all of us. And something's not working right there. Oh, documents and webinars. One thing, if anybody ever wants to learn more about policies, they have policy webinars that on Wednesdays, and they also have them here on the links to them on the website. Okay, so what we're going to be talking today is about the Master Board Certification, so our training as board members. Going back to this document here, to log in and register for the new Master Board Certification account, remember that it looks a little bit different this year. There were new sign-ins for it. Look for your email that was sent early in the year, and the sender is USBA Master Board Certification. And if you need help locating your email, then you can email Megan Mendez at usba.cc. It's M. Mendez. So after you find this email, follow the instructions in the link below and enroll your desired level. So that should all be in that email for your login. One other thing to know is that there's a Master Board Certification Committee as part of the Board of Directors, and they're redoing the levels. They're looking at the training that we have currently and trying to decide, are there updates or other things that we need to do. They're looking at level 1 and 4 this year, and so next year those levels will be updated, so we don't need to worry about that till then, and then next year they will look at levels 2 and 3. So you will go and click this red button here in the corner, Complete My MBC, and that takes you to this website. It's usba.rockstarlearning.com, and you'll have your sign-in. If you need to know how to get started, you can click here at this one. Will that let me do it? And that will tell us how this website works, and you can register. It tells you how to get logged in.
So Sean,
yes.
For those of us who are in year 5, there's not a level 5, right? You go back and do 1.
Nope, you just keep doing level 4.
Because mine only shows level 1.
Interesting. That's something to email Megan about. Because that's what you're supposed to keep doing level 4 again. So
They must not.
Yeah, generally, your first year you do one, your second year you do two, third year you do three, and every year after that you do four.
That's strange. Well, they have said there are bugs in the system, and so email Megan to keep her updated and let her know that you need to be on level four. Okay, so I'm on level four. And you go and you log in over here.
Shauna, did I hear you say that it's updated now that we probably need new usernames and passwords?
That's what that email that came in at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
That you should, you should have gotten that email. There should be a link. And
the Council for Utah School Boards Association.
Oh, sorry.
Training presence.
You don't want to do.
Do you know that all of our
I think they used on your school associate. Anything, if you get email from USBA, that's the email that you get it from. So it should be coming from.
Oh, I suggest the office newsletter.
Yes.
I think I already did because I'm back in, but then they did not because it's getting either wrong. I don't.
Okay.
If you only can see one, you can only see the level one strategy.
Yeah.
That's all I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would predict that's all you can see. I don't predict that that's all he can see.
Right. Right. So, mmendez at usba.cc is who you say email that to.
Say, what's her email name?
Mmendez, so two M's, it's Megan Mendez at usba.cc.
Do we have a new person at USBA also that Lana got to?
Yes, Lana took. Is it Julie Llewellyn's place? Yeah, Julie retired, and so Lana is the new Julie Llewellyn.
If I do go to feature, I have all four options, but enrolled, it just has me under the one.
Okay.
One for
well, there you go. Okay, so one thing to, so this, so I clicked on, I'm on my Utah Open and Public Meetings Act video, but there are several parts that you need to do. They'll have us do those three trainings each time, and next year they're going to add the audit training to this training. But then you'll have things like, I'll click on the, so you'll have to watch three videos, or they do have it in PDF form now, those trainings. So if you open something like continuous improvement, all right, this should pop open for me. And tell me, so on here, it tells me, so continuous improvement. I have, you're supposed to choose three or more. So this is super easy here because there'll already be a bunch of things that you already know. So we've already attended a state national conference, regional meetings, JLC, and then you have to do this training module, the one that started playing. So then you submit, and then it should give you credit. Although I already submitted today that, and it hasn't given me credit. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, so you just keep going, and then once you work on this section, then you scroll down, and you can work on any of the next sections, which are on this list right here. Just make sure you click save and submit, and it should keep going. Any questions past that?
Is December 1 the deadline?
December 1 is the deadline. And as a board, we always just complete them all and we get all the awards. And it's really good training. And one thing that I appreciate is that every year that I do the open a public meetings video, the finance video, and the school community council videos, I learn a little bit more every day. I think that's all, unless anybody has questions. There's one. Okay.
I think it's one of those things you just have to kind of get into and start playing it out.
Yeah.
And if it's glitching on you, you got to email Megan and just let her know. Well, that's kind of that's been a constant challenge ever since it's been released. So, okay, good. Anything else on that?
I think I forgot to run through the slide, but. I think we already went through everything on the slides.
Is that an easy slideshow to share?
Probably, yes. Because it's a link connected to the, yeah. It's an 8-page thing, so become certified, here's the history, shows how to...
If you'll send me the link, I'm happy to put the link in the next board bulletin, just so you have a, everybody has easy access to the link on the slideshow.
Will do.
Good, thank you. Okay, anything else on that?
The other thing also, Sean, you might want to do, I know that I tried to reset my password a couple times, and it says click here and I'll send it to your email, but it never gets sent to my email to reset.
Yeah, you always have to just email Megan if you need a new password, she'll send it to you. That's what I learned. Try to do it on...
Just email Megan directly, okay.
Correct, yeah.
That's good enough.
I just forgot mine and didn't send it to my, so it's my video.
Oh, interesting. So, work sometimes and
not. It's the glitch on that side.
All right, sounds good. Okay, let's see what else have I got. As you know, competitive cheer was granted an exception to travel out of state. We thought a couple of 3 months ago that one of our groups had exceeded the $1,000 limit that you set. Then we got some data that told us that they didn't exceed the limit. Within the last couple of weeks, we got data that they did exceed the limit. So they were a little bit over $1,100. And the limit that we set was $1,000 for them to travel every year. And Spanish Fork High is the group. They have a new cheer advisor this year. Principal Christensen is preparing, if not has already told them, that they cannot travel this year because they exceeded the limit, which is really what our statement has been all along, is you fit within our guidelines or you can't travel the following year. The reason I'm sharing it with you is, I mean, we're supportive of that position. I mean, I think Matt's taking a position that would be in alignment with what I think our staff and what really what you would be saying. We do know with decisions like that, it's possible we get pressure points. So what I'm teeing up in front of you is, it feels like if a pressure point starts to happen pushing against a prohibition against traveling this year because they exceeded the limit last year, the only olive branch that I think I could recommend is that if they want to go this year, then their limit this year is 900. Because then over the course of 2 years, it would have been an aggregate total of 2,000 for the 2 years. And here's what we believe, is that the groups, the reason why they're even pushing 1,000 or pushing 1,100 is they're doing Disneyland 2 days. So in short, all they have to do is back out on one of those days. And all of you will remember, when they came into the presentation asking for the exception, they were really loud that amusement parks didn't matter to them. That it was all about going down and competing. So it feels, and again, I think he's going to take the stance of holding the line on you can't go. I'm just preparing if there's pushback. The pushback would have to address it in fairly short order. Are you okay if there's pushback in saying, well, we're okay to let you go, but you can't exceed 900? Am I saying anything that's giving you concern? Okay. All right. And I'll let Bart take what he just heard and navigate it with Matt the way he chooses to navigate it.
Another question that I thought was the time constraints. It was very difficult to
They're very creative. Yes.
They found a way to do it last year, yeah.
Yeah.
They
leave right after school, then they get down there, they sleep on the bus all night, then they squeeze in Disney somehow or other, then they... Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. To me, there has to be consequences if people aren't going to follow policy, right? So that's why, to me, it's really good to have the starting point to say, sorry, you can't go next year. You were granted an exception, you didn't keep within the exception, you can't go. So, I mean, to me, that's the most solid place to be.
That's where I would change.
meeting, and then they start saying, oh, I mean, it's nice, I mean...
Yeah. And as much as anything, I'm teasing out with you how much you... We're perfectly fine if you're good with holding the line. That's the cleanest place for us to be by far.
I think the problem may be, is maybe if they back out, they'll lose hope. Maybe they prepaid stuff.
They haven't prepaid anything because they haven't yet submitted the upcoming travel request. Okay. So right now they believe it would be denied, so they haven't submitted it. So we're not out anything.
Okay.
We're trying to be really proactive on this one and preempt any of that kind of stuff happening.
It just really bugs me when they came and said, we don't care about Disney, and then, you know, and then they, anyway, I had a conversation with the mom about it. She was like, and we even fit in Disney, and I'm like, you guys said you didn't care about Disney.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the best way to just keep all the girls entertained and keep it, anyway.
Okay, we're going to hold the line on denying it. That's where we're walking out of here. So, just an awareness more than anything, Payson High, we put in 6 tennis courts is our standard practice. So think Maple Mountain tennis courts, Salem Hills tennis courts. At Springville, we're doing 8 courts because we have a donor putting money towards that. We had talked to Payson City about expanding from 6 to 8 courts at the new Payson High and gave Payson a dollar amount that we knew the 2 courts would cost. And they said, yes, we're all in on moving from 6 to 8 courts with the additional 2 courts being on Payson High's dime. Well, when push came to shove on that, those tennis courts are going in on a steep elevation area which requires more excavation than I would have ever wrapped my mind around. So the dollar amount superseded the dollar amount we had given Payson. When we called them with the new dollar amount, they were like, we can't afford it. The more we process that as a team, we finally went, wait a minute. We gave them a dollar amount to do 2 courts. So what we've decided to do, and you can slap my hands if we made a bad decision. What we decided to do was say, you know what? The district is going to pay for the excavation. Payson City, we expect you to pay for the courts. And that kept it back down with that original dollar amount we gave to the city. It felt like the prudent, responsible, relationship, respecting thing to do to hold to the dollar amount we gave them up front. We will also run conduit for lights and things like that. We're not putting lights in. Payson City is the one that wants the conduit. They're the ones looking to do lights in the future out of whatever future revenues they have. So that's why it also feels like a good partnership way to approach this, because we're covering more of the upfront cost, if you will, but any enhancements coming down the pipe, Payson City would be the one stepping to do it. I just didn't want you to hear that on the street instead of hear that from us. So, any questions on that? All right. IHC has reached out, probably primarily to Bart. Bart, you just want to speak to that one.
Sure.
You can speak. You can either repeat everything I say wrong, or you can just say it right and start with it. So
we've been in a partnership with a pilot program with Maple Mountain High School, paying IHC to provide a trainer, athletic trainer, for their teams there. And it's come so well that IHC would like to expand that to all of our schools. It's an $18,400 cost to our schools, and then we have to do some advertising for them at our schools. And they also have the opportunity to do a half-time trainer at $9,200. Their preference would be to do it in 2 years, so I know I've talked with Payson, I think they want to do it because their trainer is looking at getting out of that part of it. And then maybe Salem Hills, that will eventually get to where all of our schools have a tie-in with IHC, and they'll provide a trainer for our athletes. So.
Again, great partnership. It's a good thing. We're grateful to it. Bart, something just hit me in the moment, and I have to say it, I'll just forget it. The first time we did this, the advertising application was not within the the application of the advertising requests on the building didn't fit our policy and our guidelines. So we have got to be super clear up front what our guidelines are and what is permitted within our policy and our guidelines on what we allow them to do related to advertising. Because if they think it's the same kind of advertising they did at one of our schools, then we probably have problems. And I hadn't wrapped my mind around that till this moment. So
is that at Maple Mountain?
Yes, that's at Maple Mountain. The version that we didn't know what happened until we showed up after the fact and walked through, that version clearly was not in alignment with our advertising guidelines. So we just need to stay on top of that.
Can I ask about, every high school has had trainers, mm-hmm. So why change this? Is there a management thing? Or
I think there's a lot of positives that come from linking with IHC, because they'll provide all sorts of different resources for us also. And the cost is considerably lower. So right now, we allocate a half of an FTE for each school to pay for a trainer. And then some schools are taking out of their other FTE funds to get a full-time trainer. And half of an FTE. A full FTE is $100,000 probably with benefits, and this is $18,400. And then they do have a good tie into lots of other resources that they will provide. And they'll work with our trainers too. So I mean, we're not trying to replace our current trainers. Just give some additional things, and we just keep adding more and more sports. And so those trainers are going nonstop.
Yeah, we have trainers working like 16 hours a day during certain sports seasons and things like that. It's just we don't have great practice, if you will, in relation to number of trainers related to workload expected of trainers. So I would say that this is in addition to what's going on with trainers.
And are the trainers
in some instances. Oh. Yeah.
And the trainers at our high schools, are they generally also teachers, like PE teachers?
Not necessarily.
Most of them do teach some training classes, athletic training classes, but. And the other thing that they provide is if their trainer can't make it, if they have some other obligation, they have roaming trainers that they will send, so that we will always have our activities covered, which is great.
And wasn't there a trainer? No, it seems like there was a legislation proposed that all schools have a There was something proposed about trainers to make sports more safe, and not all trainers were available to be at all sports in all schools. And so there was a piece of legislation trying, and I don't even know if it got up, but
yeah.
I just remember something like that, because I remember.
The only reason why something specific isn't sticking in my mind is the legislature kind of picks at this every year a little bit.
Okay.
And so I don't have a good pulse on what was this year and what did in the past. Okay. Yeah, that's a.
And I think it's important to note that we're not saying we're going to have all sports covered. We will just have a trainer there. So I know when I was at Salem Hills, they kind of park in the middle of baseball, softball, track, and soccer, you know, where they're needed, you know. But they would provide one trainer.
They would kind of have a central location at the school. Or,
you know, I mean, if they're at a football game, they're probably at the football game just because the chances of injuries are higher there. But, yeah, they would cover all the different things. And if we have two trainers, you know, then it's.
Yeah.
Would they just stay here at our local stuff? They wouldn't travel with the team?
Or they travel for some sports. I think they travel for football, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess what I was trying to say is this is an enhancement of our existing training program. That's maybe the best way I would say it. So. Okay, I think you probably got an email from somebody talking quite a bit about property tax equalization. If you didn't see it, this was a former legislator that was, when they were in the legislature or shortly after, they were able to pass some legislation that had property the had, I just lost the word, capital equalization. They got some capital equalization legislation passed, and we're the beneficiaries of capital equalization. Well, they're floating an idea now that just says, you know what, there's a lot of districts that are below a line when it comes to a certain threshold on the amount of revenue per student that property tax generates. Because depending on where you live, you know, bedroom communities like ours don't produce the kind of property tax that, and the number one district is Park City, that produces the most property tax because they have so many second homes that are taxed at 100% instead of 55%, and they're very expensive homes, right? But then you have other places that businesses are taxed at 100%, not at 55%. So there's just enough bedroom communities across the state where it's taxed at the 55% rate, where there's not equitable revenue of funds when it comes to property tax. So this former legislator is promoting the idea of saying, you know what, in short, every single year when the WPU is announced, districts that are on the low end of property tax revenue, which we are, they should start to say to legislators that a portion of every WPU should go towards leveling up the property tax for districts. Well, that's not a bad idea if you're a property tax for district, right? I mean, it's like, well, yeah, that sounds like a great idea to us and several others that are. The challenge is if you're taking the WPU to do that, then other districts are getting less of the WPU. That's always going to be the challenge on these equalization kinds of things. So a few superintendents talked with me about it and just were asking my counsel and advice. They were tax for districts like we are. I said, well, guys, I think it's perfectly fine to kind of tease out the idea among board members, superintendents, things like that. All I'm saying is proceed with caution, because there's lots of inequities in the system. At-risk students is a potential inequity, right? Second language kids is a potential inequity. So you just got to be careful zeroing in on a single inequity and trying to target that as something that should be the next biggest problem to fix. So I'm more letting you know what I shared with superintendents, because I don't know what other board members may talk to you about.
I guess I thought there was already some sort of revenue provision in there. So if a district generates more property tax than they can use, that property tax is already taken away.
Yeah, and only one district kicks back into the pot.
Well, yeah.
And it's Park City. So what this is saying is, I think the second district on the list is like South Summit. And what they're trying to say is, if South Summit produces X amount of money per pupil based on property tax, then we should put systems in place that say that every school district should at least get that amount of money. So level everybody up to number two over time by pulling money off the WPU and putting it into an equalization pot. Because the Park City amount of money would never be enough to, quote, equalize anything, really. They're a rich district as far as districts go, but the amount of money they put back in would make almost no dent at all across the entire system.
Is it that the legislature is still trying to figure out how to get rid of income tax?
No, this is independent of all of that. And it's partly why I say to anybody that's talking to me, well, it's okay to tease out the idea, but proceed with caution. Because there are so many moving parts right now on public school finance. So this is one slice of a very complicated pie.
Unless we're talking about increasing revenue, where does this money come from?
Well, and that's exactly what I said. So the argument is the WPU is an increase in revenue. I'm going, well, it's an increase in revenue that everybody needs for their operating costs. So the very first caution I gave was, well, remember, the first elements of the WPU are an inflationary factor and growth.
No district in the state would consider that those two elements create surplus money. So I said, if you're talking about carving off a portion of WPU to go to this initiative, the sliver you want to be focused on is whatever sliver is above inflation and growth. Anybody remember what the sliver above inflation and growth was this year? Michael does. Zero. The total WPU was inflation and growth this year. So if that concept were applied this last year, there would have been no additional WPU to even go to this concept. So that's partly why I am saying to my peers, you might want to proceed cautiously on this one, quoting my think big, start small, go slow. Is it maybe something Scott stopped me over the years? Anyway. So, but there's enough discussion going on from property tax board districts. I'll be shocked if you don't hear about it in upcoming meetings and upcoming conversations. That's why I thought I better spend 5-10 minutes on it with you today.
What poll does he have not
been in the legislature? Well, he leads the Utah Taxpayers Association. So yeah, he has influence. But I'm not saying it's a bad idea. It's just how do you get from point A to point B? That's always the dilemma. If we were starting, if Utah school districts were starting in a vacuum today, you'd probably start with that. It's how to get to the point, not whether it's a good point or not.
I don't see that there are some districts that have extra money that they don't know what to do with.
Correct.
So unless we're talking about financing.
That's what I'm always super loud about, Sean. Any of these kinds of initiatives, including this one, but there's lots of others like it, always have to be discussions about new money. They can't ever be discussions about pulling money away from others. It always has to be, how are we going to distribute new money? So, just... And again, you might hear about it, number one, and number two, y'all got an email about it. So I thought, oh, I better spend a little bit of time talking that through. The last item I've got is we had a good discussion with high school principals, probably in early June. I appreciated Bart getting it together, facilitating it, just having some conversations. Just some key items we were talking with high school principals about. And just to reaffirm, you guys already know this, but I'm just publicly stating it. These are great leaders, right? They're sharp. They're running many cities. They're running big budgets. They care about kids. Their jobs are as complex as anything we can even begin to wrap our minds around, right? And so I would say that our conversation was more about reaffirming lots of things that are on the pile of stuff that hit them. I just thought I'd review some of them briefly with you. So, like, right out of the gate, we just wanted a gate receipts discussion with them. Guys, what are your concerns? What are your worries? What are your fears? So, you've already talked a lot about that. Maybe the one thing we said to them that we didn't say today, because you were saying a lot of the same things they were, is, you guys, take the opportunity to make this a win. There will be people that are frustrated by it, but try to turn it into a win with your people. And so, my guess would be most of the people that have concerns, even if it's a parent telling you, the parent heard the concern out of a coach somewhere, if I were to guess. Okay. Right? That the parents aren't into the details enough to have, like, it's going to hurt the program. Some coach has probably said something. So we just collaborated together on how to try to make sure that we're turning the gate receipts decision into a collective win, a collective positive for the communities and the organization. And they were really good about that discussion. We just reminded them that a few years ago, we set, it's in an admin directive, set a standard that during the summer, in our district, the 20-hour practice rule applies in June and July. That was enough years ago, but it was like, and there's enough turnover in coaches. Like, ooh, are we confident, and this is why we did this in early June, are we confident that all of our coaches and everybody's going to remember that in NEBO, you still can't practice more than 20 hours, just like you do in the season. And they were glad for the reminder, and they're very supportive of that. It just, you know, that's a thing that could get lost between the cracks. We'll tell you that we consistently talk with them about making sure that our people that are choosing to drive our Suburbans are acutely aware of having student safety be a priority. We have GPS on our Suburbans. We know how fast they're going. When we get an alert that a Suburban is not going to speed that is acceptable to us, Frank gets that alert. He lets Bart know about that. Bart talks to the principal about it. We actually have a form in place that just says, "Principal, you just got an alert on a Suburban going X miles an hour in such and such speed zone." They pull the person in that was driving. They say to him, "Here's what's going on. Talk with me about it." Now, there's sometimes plausible explanations, right? It's like, you know, because if you're going 45 and a 35, that's different than going 90 and a 70, right? Even though the speed. So anyway, the discussion is more important than anything. But we do document that they talked to the person about it. We don't think we have repeat offenders, if you will. We think that the system we have in place is helping to make sure that people are taking student safety seriously when they're driving our kids. So we just talked to them about how that's going. And dawned on me that I wasn't even sure you knew that we did that. So anyway, so just an awareness there. We talked to them about the rooms component in Aptigy. And you might remember that we discovered that some of them had started to use a program called Sports U to communicate out. So the update in rooms that will make it fairly seamless, we think, is coming at the end of this month. Is that accurate? Once the update to Aptigy's rooms comes out, we talked to the principals about saying, at that point in time, Sports U is no longer an acceptable communication tool. We understand why you did it last year. It was cleaner, more seamless and everything. But again, this updated version of Rooms, and just as a reminder to you, Rooms is kind of the text platform so that you can text your entire team and the team can text you back. The thing about it is that it tracks the text threads in ways that like GroupMe and some of these others don't. So we have a record of the correspondence going on between adults and adolescents. That's a big thing. The second big thing is their administrator is included in all of the communications. So an administrator knows what the threads are. The third thing is with Rooms is that it translates. And so that helps us with Title IX. So we don't end up with language barriers. So those are probably the three most compelling reasons to move to Rooms as opposed to other platforms as your group texting platform. Again, we're going to be super firm on that once the Rooms update comes out. Shauna?
Also, I assume they'll do this, but make sure that they're super firm with their parent groups about that as well, because I've been hearing through the grapevine that there's parent groups that are like, we're not doing that.
So what I'm hearing you say, we'll have to affirm it. If it's an internal parent group, I think we can be firm on that. if it's an external booster club, I don't think we can control that. Most of our groups are internal, though. They think they're external, but most are internal. So I will check into that and make sure. But does anybody know anything different than I do on that? Is that a possibility we can... The other thing I would say, too, on that is, and if it's adult to adult, we probably don't care as much. If it's adults to kids, that's where we care. That's where we're more concerned. So, we started to plow some ground on ninth grade participation at the high schools. You know that's something we're going to have to tackle in the coming months. I wouldn't say I have a report to give you on that, other than we started having great discussions with the high school principals about if ninth graders are going to play up and it's more prevalent now than it has been, what's going to be the implications for advanced conditioning classes, for first period drill cheer, all those things we've talked about before. I don't want you to think we've lost that discussion, but again, I don't have a lot to report out on that one. We reaffirmed some things with student travel that we've already been plowing that ground on. And then we're still teasing out whether to rent the PE facilities or not. And that's why that struck out on the policy you adopted today. We just don't know where to land on that. Right now, the thought is we're going to try to keep it limited to just high school teams. We'll see how well they're able to enforce that this year, but that's kind of where we were on that.
Can I ask the ALC, the
field
at the ALC,
yep.
Is that one let out to the
public?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we rent the ALC.
So that one's different than
yes, it's been different, and we've actually chosen to never capture the ALC rental on that schedule. So, and we chose to not say it's too nuanced and too complex. I think we have written language that allows for the ALC to set their own schedule, is how that one's handled. I think we produced about $30,000 in revenue last year out of the ALC rental, which is a fraction of what we probably could have got if the whole world didn't have keys to get in there on their own and let themselves in instead of renting it, but we do the best we can.
Yes, that just makes that cute something for me. So with our new high schools, you know, Bartlebouch, the old high schools, everybody had keys to the undergrounds, and it just got to be a circus. Maybe with Frank can help address it too. Is there a way we can prevent that with these new schools? I mean, with the electronic keys,
they all
have keys. There's not a basement in the next school.
Yeah, we got rid of the basement.
Well, that's an easy fix.
Yeah, Scott, we are going to attempt to make sure that because we have electronic key card access, that we can manage that better than we have. Part of the reason why I don't want to overpromise and then underdeliver, we have electronic key card access at the ALC. So we already have a system at a building that has people in there all time of the day and night, and so anyway. So it's, but there's no question that we'll be better than we were.
With the old keys.
Oh,
yeah.
I used to tease that if you bought a house in Spanish Fork, they handed you a key to high school. And that might not have been teasing. That might have been more accurate than I'm going
to admit. I know a lot of ways to get in high school without keys.
Since I went to the same high school as you a year before, I might have known all the same ways. So, anyway, yeah, and that's partly why we didn't put it on for rental. We're going to try to manage it with electronic access. We'll just, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, okay, cool. And that's all I got.
All right. We have concluded the rest of our agenda for our work session, and we have come to the conclusion of our 6 p.m. meeting and completed all of our work. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Motion has been made by Regains, who have seconded by Scott Wilson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Our meeting is adjourned at 7:01 p.m.